We also had some others out this week. And Leonard is not with us, so we're going to start off with Phil. And he did not expect to have to go first.
And, yes, it's, you go to the King's Theater, and you take a left, and you go down past the soup kitchen in the Presbyterian Church, and a couple more blocks, and you come, that's Wildwood United Methodist Church. Yeah, okay. And so come on out, it's Friday night from 5 till 8, and we're looking. By the way, is there anything that, any prayer requests that you have? And, well, that's the technique. The thing that, was so frightening. Didn't know what to think about going on a Celebrate Jesus mission. I knew that it was something that was going to expect us to go out and contact the public in some way. But when we were going down, none of us knew what to expect. In any way, really. I really don't think any of us had a leg up on anyone else on what would expect down there. And I was so unsure. I had spoken to the team pastor that I was on a few days before. Forgot to ask him a few questions like, what kind of clothes should I take? You know, is this going to be formal? And so I kind of took a hodgepodge. And as it turned out, the pastor that was on one of the pastors that was on our team, Ken Vickery from the First Temple United Methodist Church in Lakeland, wore shorts the whole time, and they provided us with the rest of the uniform that we needed and all of the accoutrements. So turned out that I didn't have to worry about that. They provided us accommodations to sleep. We slept on the floor. They provided fortunately, I just took I took a sleeping bag, and they provided an air mattress. We had wall-to-wall air mattresses, and there were 10 people on our team. I mentioned it was a family team. There were the team pastor was a young fellow, probably 35 years old, and had his wife was a member of the team, and their 3-year-old son, Christian. Too young for a family team, but I'm sure it was going to be a good experience for Christian as he sees that his family and their lives are devoted to evangelism, spreading the word, and he'll grow into it just as the other three children, who were the children of the team leader, B.J. Foster, who was probably 40. She's 39 because there were some jokes about turning 40. Has children, 8, 9, 12 years old. Wonderful children, typical children to watch them. They were, one of them was devoted to football and basketball and played basketball well and talked all these things. And the girl was a cheerleader and was hanging around all the boys. And the 8-year-old, the girl was 9, the 8-year-old was typical playing hand video games, you know. But they knew what it meant to go out and invite and to carry the light of Jesus to the homes. And they looked forward to it. They anticipated it. And as I'd mentioned before, to hear them, I mean, they didn't pray in flowing phrases, but they prayed from the heart, and they knew why they were there, and it was meaningful to hear that. The church that I was going to, Wildwood United Methodist Church, was surprisingly like Bethel. They have some praise music. They have traditional music. They close with "Blessed be the tie that binds." Is that the one we used to do? Yeah, and hold hands. All 150 or so of them that were there. They seat about 225 or 30, and they have double services in the season, but it was between the season, and so there weren't so many there. It seemed a little like Bethel. It was a larger church, larger facilities. They had a bus. They had had all these things that were helping them to establish a program or set up a program. And they had a program. They had Sunday schools and they had women's circles and they just had all these things. But they also had a closed congregation. You know, it just seemed it was just the people that were there, and they didn't have a lot of kids. Now they, when they had their children's time, they probably had a dozen kids come up, but for a congregation that traditionally has 300 come in season, and even 150 at other times, it wasn't a lot of people. They wanted to bring in young families. They also knew that there was a lot of tension between their church members, well, not necessarily their church members, but the town on this side of the tracks and the town on the other side of the tracks. And there was a strong interest in wanting to relieve that. So what we did was we were doing this invitational evangelism. And the major event was to take bags of light bulbs to, they had started out with 800, they added another 150, and we gave them, no we didn't, we had about 50 left, we didn't give them all out, but we pretty well canvassed this town of 4,000. We gave out, you know, 900 light bulbs, and more people heard of it than that. I spent two of the nights east of the tracks, and they were the most meaningful for me. I wasn't able to offer my prayers for them. I was able to offer to take their requests back sometimes. It wasn't easy for me. But I did find that when I was going out, I wasn't nervous at all. I was going east of the tracks, and there were obvious, one fellow that knew the area told us to avoid one or two where there was obvious drug activity going on. Kids running all over the place. I went in one house because they couldn't come to the door, and there was no screen door, and it was not in good shape, but we were able to enter and to let them know that we wanted them to come in some way to bring these two groups together. Other things that we did, we went out on the street corners. Well, we went to the shopping centers and handed out water, living water, with an invitation to come to the block party. They didn't have, they gave out stamps at the post office with an invitation. They didn't have a lot of events like that. As a matter of fact, one of the nice things about being in the team was that they were driven to do more than the church was prepared to do. And they were sitting around on Tuesday and they said, "We don't have anything to do this afternoon. What can we do?" And one of the things that they had suggested that is done, and one of the youth teams had talked about doing, is going out and cleaning commodes. Go to the business. Can we clean your commodes? Because they find that unbelievable, and it leaves an impression on them. We didn't do that. But we but we did. They did go out and just buy up 500 cookies, make up 50 plates of cookies, and go up and down the street handing them out to the businesses. And what was neat was to go into the businesses and hand them a plate of cookies and say, "Oh yes, I heard about you. Or you came to my house last night and gave me a light bulb." And when you're passing out those bottles of waters and you say, and you find somebody that says, Oh yes, you're the ones that brought the cookies to the," it all kind of seemed to come together. We went and bagged groceries simply to be there. I had someone come up to me. We said, "Can we bag groceries?" And they said, "Yeah, but there are two things. You can't be obnoxious and you can't hand out things." And so we went, and how obnoxious is, "Have a blessed day." I had one person come up to me and he says, "Why are all four of you wearing the same red shirt?" And I said, we're trying to let people know that Wildwood United Methodist Church is active, and we want you to come out. And then I told him about the block party. But, it was interesting to see how all these things could come together and work together to get a message to people, to let them know that Wildwood United Methodist Church cared. Now, I'm sorry, I'm kind of... But we went down, all drove down together, and we spent 5 hours going down there, all asking one another, what are we going to do? I wonder what's going to happen. And then coming back, well, it probably only lasted about 3.5 hours, where we were talking about what happened. And so if I run over a little bit, I'm not going to run over. I'm going to give you your time, because Laura's experience was different in important ways. I didn't lead anybody to Christ. I didn't personally pray for anybody at their door. Many did, including one group that got to a home where a woman was hiding out because she had just been abused by her husband. They went back to that house several times that week. There were others that, well, one, it's interesting, the chemistry, which I didn't seem to contribute to. And some of the team members that had a lot of expectations because they'd been on these before seemed disappointed towards the end of the week. They didn't feel like the chemistry was working with the church members, although the church members wanted to reach out. They just didn't all know how to. They wanted us to instruct them, and we weren't. That wasn't really one of the parts. We were there to help them, but not really to instruct. When two team members went out together on the last night of passing out hot light bulbs, they were late getting back because house after house that they went to, there were people that had prayer requests, and they stopped, and they heard their problems, and they prayed for them, and they came back very, very filled just from that experience. I had one house that I went into, and they had gotten a spot on the news about this. And this was on the east side of the tracks. And the woman was sitting there in front of the TV. And she said, I just heard this over the TV. And he said, it sounds nice, but do they really mean everybody? Do they really mean us? And I said, well, you must have thought that pretty loud, because God sent me here right now to tell you, yes, we really mean you. I didn't have a lot of things. I was there one time as a man was running across the street, and I was happening to walk up the street, and he ran headlong into an open tailgate, knocked him flat, and we were able to come up and help get him up and help him to, get his senses back. And fortunately, the other member was able to do more, giving more comforting care. Of course, there were others around that did as well, but to be able to be there and to be two white people in a whole crowd of blacks that cared about what was happening to this man. On the last 4 days, there wasn't a lot to do in the morning. They had vacation Bible school. I took pictures. It was a good thing I took my camera. I took pictures, and I made friends with some kids. But I didn't have anything to do in the morning, and I couldn't sleep. I was always waking up early, so I'd get up early, and by 6:30 I'd be walking around the neighborhood and just thinking about the neighborhood. Prayer by location helped. Helped me, gave me some things to do. The last 2 days I ran across a man who was out cleaning, pulling weeds out of his yard. Didn't know his name until the end of the first day when I was talking to him. His name's Orville, and he used to be a Methodist until they started changing. And to hear him talk on that first day, he was a bitter man that saw that everything was an abomination. He couldn't find a church that didn't have an abomination in it. He had categorical names that he gave to the people that were abominations. But he was very much biblically oriented. He was a righteous man, but he was seemed bitter. And we talked for a while and talked about John Wesley, and that was fun for me. But the next day I was walking around and I said, gee, that man doesn't have what he needs. And I said, this was on Friday. The block party was Friday night. He lived just a block and a half away, and he could see the church, and I knew that he was going to curse. Well, he not curse, but he was not going to be happy with all that was going to be happening at the block party. So I said, I'm going to go around, see if he's there, and I'm going to ask him to pray for us, because, you know, wondrous things can be done with the prayers of a righteous man. And so I did, and he was there, and we started talking again, and I said, you know, you just really don't seem to have much joy in your life. and he was surprised, I think, to hear that. And as we got to talking more, I learned more about Orville and Edna and the problems that they had. She was very sick. She fell a lot. He was having a hard time taking care of her. He had had open heart surgery a couple of years before. The experiences of going through with that. He was leading an elderly folks religious service, not associated with anything, on Sunday mornings, and they enjoyed it. But and he started smiling some. I think maybe, I don't know whether he was just condescending to me or whether he really did hear that his heart needed to be made more open. We talked about the love of God and really the necessity of it and how that extends beyond people's sins. And I'm hoping that he maybe got that message, and he said he would pray for us. That was a high point for me. Another high point was during the block party. Poured rain. We had maybe 200 people out, and the minister was expecting 500, and we told him, you got to be prepared for more because we were well received. You know, there were very few slammed doors. I think I heard of maybe three or four out of the 800 that we went to. They were generally positive, and I knew they were going to come out, and all the team members knew they were going to come out, but it rained. And I didn't have a whole lot to do, but I was able to take Zachary around, three-year-old little boy. And I was kind of tending him around while his mother or foster mother was tending one of the booths. And she came up to me. She said, I'm glad you're looking after Zachary. Now I got to know Zachary in the Vacation Bible School. Said, I'm glad you're looking after Zachary because he doesn't have much of a male role model in his life. He was just a delightful, I mean, just a beautiful kid, but he was in a foster home. Another person came up to me during the rain and said she was thinking of going on one of these Celebrate Jesus. And I said, you know, of all the people I've seen, you are one that ought to be there. Because she was probably the youngest one in the church that took part. She was, I was probably mid-20s, might have been 30. And the average age of people that took part, I would say, was probably 65. Many of them were in their 70s. Very few couple that were younger than me. That's one of the problems. But Jennifer, she took care of kids. She took care of Zachary during the day. She took care of another little girl named Braylee, whose father had been severely injured. I don't know if you heard about it. I think it was on Wednesday. There was a sign at an oil station that fell, severely injured her father, killed his brother, and he was there to have his brother die in his arms. The brother was distraught, and Jennifer was there to minister to him and to help Braylee deal with something that she didn't understand. And Jennifer, she had the type of love for not especially the people that she knew, but also for the community that was necessary. I said, you're going to be great. And she gave me a hug. She said, thank you. That was meaningful to me, that it meant something to her, that I affirmed her. Wonderful moments. If you have an opportunity, take part. Leonard, oh, he's got a good witness, and he was exciting listening to him coming up. I'm sorry you missed it. We're going to have to let him try again sometime. He brought some applications because he knows there are people here in the church that would benefit from that. Now, there were two things that I had a reason for going down for. One was, can I do this? Because I've got a story that says that I'm supposed to do this. I won't tell you that. But I wanted to see if I could, not in my own neighborhood. And I found out that I can invite people. I have a very difficult time praying for people right now. Second thing was, is that something like that for Bethel? And it could be, I don't know. You'll have more chance to hear about this. How can you prepare for something like this? You know, the greatest preparation for this, for me, was the prayer, small group things that we had, because I found that I spent all my time when I wasn't going door to door, and even sometimes there, I have a hard time saying it's prayer for me because I don't pray in the right kind of words, but in conversation with God, trying some of the things that Laura taught us about, the different ways that you can go to God. That's the kind of preparation we can have. There are going to be other opportunities to be prepared like that. If you're unsure, knowledge doesn't take, isn't required, but some people feel uncomfortable because they don't know. We're going to have opportunities for you to learn more about that. We're going to have opportunities during the coming year for you to become more comfortable with praying for, about, in front of others, and to take some of that worry out. We can tell you what it's going to be like to go on the Celebrate Jesus thing, and we can take some of that mystery out of it. What it can mean for you, you won't know until you go, but it can be wonderful. It was good for me. It was better for me than anybody else, I think, on the team, because they were all experienced with what you could do, and they were disappointed. And I guess I didn't have that experience to be disappointed. I was amazed at the type of love that was shown there. And something I forgot to do was to ask during our regular prayer time to pray for the church. Their follow-up chairman isn't going to be back in town until August. He didn't take part in Celebrate Jesus. He doesn't have that effect. They need prayer to get these people to do their follow-up on their own ahead of time and to continue to work with that kind of evangelism. So I'd like to just kind of take a moment. Lord, you were working this week in, how many teams throughout the Leesburg district. They saw wonderful things happening, a lot of expectations that people wanted, but we know that little church in Wildwood, they don't have a perfect plan. There are some problems with it, but we pray that you will continue to work with them, to work with their willingness, with their honest interest in taking your word to their city, and help them to overcome the problems with their plan. So that their witness can do what both they and you want to be done in that church. I pray also for those ones that gave prayer requests, the agony that they have in their life, for those that just haven't yet found the joy which you can bring to their lives. We pray that you will continue to work with them, to send people to them, to let them know what you want for them. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
God really used you in amazing ways this week. Isn't it incredible that Phil is standing up here saying, well, I didn't really do much. Yet God used him to be there when a woman wanted to know if they meant her. Phil said, I didn't really do much this week, but he was there to help a man who was hurt. God used you in amazing ways this week, Phil. And you stretched beyond your comfort zones, and I know it. Most amazing of all, Phil, who says, I can't do this prayer thing. What did he just do? What did you just do? It's amazing. you know, it's a quarter after and we need to do communion. I'm going to save my story and we're going to save Leonard's story. But God is good and your light really shined before people this week. Thank you for risking and thank you for being blessed by it. Let us prepare to go to communion.